to Radio Wasteland, the best in absolutely anything, anywhere, at any time. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, also the best, and my co-host, Kara Kittrick, easily second best.
Debatable.
Yeah, well, you introduced me, so I'm sure it'll go the other way around.
Yeah.
Kara, you got any news for us today?
Yeah, so I've got a couple climate change things, because I wrote this newscast a week ago, and then before we recorded, a bunch of new things happened. So I've just really stacked on climate change. So first, extreme heat waves were recorded simultaneously in both the Arctic to the north and the Antarctic to the south, leaving climate scientists baffled by the extreme nature of this event. One researcher called temperatures recorded in the Antarctic, where it is autumn, quote, absolutely absurd. Second, a new climate report by the United Nations indicate that emissions would have to peak just 2 years from now in order to remain below 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is the number that's been held up as the sort of safe number for global warming for many decades now. In response, climate scientists staged simultaneous protests around the world, chaining themselves outside of the White House, blocking the road to the German parliament, and in Los Angeles, chaining themselves outside the entrance to the J.P. Morgan Chase building to protest their funding of new oil projects. Almost all of these protests, despite being relatively small, were met with massive police force, dozens of officers, showing up to arrest just four scientists in L.A. Said one of the L.A. scientists in an op-ed in The Guardian, quote, "How can I plead any harder? What will it take? What can my colleagues and I do to stop this catastrophe unfolding now all around us with such excruciating clarity?" The title of the op-ed was, "Climate Scientists Are Desperate, We're Crying, Begging, and Getting Arrested." Pretty dramatic.
Yeah, so you think this will get people to care? You think?
No, but I mean, look, it is the long game. I was actually reading, it doesn't matter why, about, like, civil rights history the other day. And I feel like a lot of people kind of think of, like, the civil rights movement as starting with MLK and stuff. And, like, you know, that you ask them when did it begin, and they push it back to, like, the 40s at the earliest or whatever, right? But, no, the civil rights movement began with Reconstruction immediately after the Civil War. And then you just had basically 100 years of people, like, protesting, writing, you know, doing all kinds of things, organizing,
right,
before they, any of the stuff they were trying to get to happen really happened. So
it depends on if you consider civil rights starting like when black people started fighting for it and actually achieving things, or because they were set free, not coming down on their attempts, or when, sure, white people noticed, which was 1968.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, like, my point is, I don't know, I think this is unlikely to result in any tangible policy, but I think climate awareness has come a long way in, like, the last 20 years.
So, I do, too. I was actually thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking that it's too bad that we can't have a smart conversation about this, the world, not you and me, that we can't have a smart conversation about this, because I was doing something with carpet cleaners. You know, one of my many jobs is helping, sure, carpet cleaners marketing, and they had some guy talking about protectorate, and it's spray on plastic, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, it's, you know, there's some eco stuff, California, so on and so forth. This may get blocked and people won't be allowed to have this anymore. And people are just all, well, that's bad for the environment to spray around persistent chemicals into the environment. And his argument was, yes, a wool rug should last 100 years, but in his opinion, carpets and rugs don't wear out, they ugly out. And without some sort of protectorate, nobody's going to keep that rug for 100 years.
Right.
So
yeah.
Basically there's this give and take of keeping the landfills free. Like, what is doing less? Like this argument of gasoline or coal. And then we're all like, what about clean burning natural gas? And they're all, well, it's not really clean. It's still doing this, that, and the other thing, you know, but it's less. Should we have that realistic discussion where we at least move in the right direction together, but we can't even really do that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I made a point there, but there is a point there with the rug and the protectorate.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think maybe your point was that people...
I don't particularly have a point. It just made me think, you know, but go ahead.
Yeah. I think it goes to show that, like, the issue is not, like, the structural, like, engineering element of the rug. The issue is, like, people have rugs because they want to have a clean rug that makes them feel nice, right? And that's
right.
Perfectly realistic. So it's, like, I think a lot of times technical aspects of, like, what can we do to solve this issue ignore sort of the human, like, okay, but how are people going to actually act? I don't really think that's what's going on here, though. Because, like, most Americans want action on climate change, you know? Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, 30% or something that just doesn't think we should do anything, doesn't think it's a real issue, something like that. Actually, it might be a little higher. I'm not sure. I haven't looked recently. But it's a big portion that doesn't think we should do anything like that. But, like, most people want it, and our political system is just so dysfunctional that, like, we are unable to act even on things where there's, like, a clear majority of people want action, right? So the root problem here, I think, is not lack of awareness. I think the root problem is our government doesn't work, you know?
Yeah, and I also think people lie a lot. Because the question isn't really, do you think we should do something about this? The question ultimately is, are you willing to be a part of doing something about this?
True, yeah.
And I don't think people are answering that question. You know, so like with the carpet thing, basically, I don't want to buy a wool rug because I can't keep it clean. I'm going to buy the nylon carpet, you know, and so because I can keep that clean, where maybe the spray protectorant. Now, it sounds like I'm selling carpet protectors, but you get my point, is that there there are steps along the way. You know, natural gas is an example. I was about to say prime example, but frankly, I don't know that much about it to even give it that label. But you get what I'm saying. Yeah. But we'll never be able to get there. So it's kind of like we're all like feast or famine, all or nothing in order to get anything done.
And right.
Nobody's doing all.
Yeah, well, our current political system is like every 30 years or so, one party takes control of all branches of government and has a supermajority proof, like majority in the Senate. And at that point, they can pass one bill, right? You know,
yeah.
And when that happens, what they're going to choose is not climate change, right? If it's the Republicans, it's going to be tax cuts for the rich. And if it's the Democrats, it's going to be a healthcare thing that is lackluster. Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to be climate. So it's. Yeah. And sadly, this is something that really like you can help on a state level, but you definitely can't solve climate on a state level because
you can't even solve it on a country level.
No. But it would definitely. I think the U.S. is actually a really big sticking point in a lot of these negotiations. Because the argument of, like, India and China and stuff, who are really big polluters, are basically, you got to use this polluting technology for hundreds of years, and it made you rich before you had to modernize. So we should get that same courtesy. And if you don't want us polluting the planet, great. Use some of your ill-gotten gains to pay for us to modernize. And frankly, I think that's a perfectly reasonable argument. But it's not going to happen until we actually tackle our end of the emissions, and then we can work on helping with theirs. Like, we're not going to be able to convince them to make any concessions while we're where we are.
Right. And
so I think the U.S. is just a huge stumbling block in the entire diplomatic.
Yeah, you know, but we got to give some credit because one area is if we were to make this move, it would make the double impact. And the other impact would be. Now, this is going to take maybe admitting that there is some advantage to being a capitalist society. But, you know, a lot of these innovations are coming from the private sector of the United States.
Kind of.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
It's the same thing as anything else. The innovations are being marketed, but it's... Okay, so a couple things here. First of all, almost all the, like, actual tech for green energy that we use today, it's like in anything else. It was developed at a university decades ago, right? But also, most of the money, or a lot of the money that has, like, kickstarted the growth in solar energy over the last 10 years was earmarked in the 2009 stimulus bill. So, like, kinda.
It stimulated capitalism. So it's not really capitalism. It's slightly socialist capitalism.
Well, yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. Like, the free market would not do this on its own, probably, because the free market has no way to deal with the negative externalities of, like, pollution.
Well, that might be a fun thing if I'm allowed to sick you on a segment, you know, maybe do like you did for the Nazi clubhouses, but with some of those green energy and where they're coming from in the world, so we can talk about what kind of governments and what type of people are actually pursuing this.
Yeah, I mean, I can do that.
Well,
the other thing though is that, like, the other thing though is that, like, the green energy tech we have now is in most ways perfectly sufficient to meet our current needs.
It does kill all those birds, though.
Kinda.
Nah.
I mean, well,
the rats of the sky, man.
You know what also kills birds is, you know, 6 degrees Celsius of global warming, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's kills a good all argument. The flora and fauna. That is a really good argument.
So, like, the thing is that none of these technologies have to be perfect, they just have to be better than fossil fuel.
That's kind of where I was getting at with some of this. You know, I feel like, you know, again, I'm going with natural gas, but I don't really know, but let's pretend natural gas. But, you know, and I feel like there's people pushing for it, but they're the wrong people in some people's eyes, and there's people pushing against it, but they're the wrong people in the other people's eyes. You know, right. It's a lot like Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson is a type of music that sounds like a lot of the other bands that I grew up with that I should like. But I find Marilyn Manson fans so stupid that it's hard for me to get into the band.
Yeah. Well, I definitely agree. Definitely in the climate change thing, there's a lot of...
Not on Marilyn Manson, though.
Well, I don't know anything about Marilyn
Manson. Oh, okay.
But, like, a couple years ago, there was the whole thing... There was basically an article that said, you know, we have 12 years to stop climate change and we'll die, basically, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then that got parroted a lot. And basically what it was is that the article was fine, basically. The headline was super misleading because the article was basically saying we need to make these changes. We need to, like, start making these changes by 2030 or else in the long run we're going to have more problems. That's what the article was saying. The headline was just in this super hyperbolic way. And then a lot of people only read the headline, and then you got people like politicians and stuff saying...
They're trying to take my hamburgers. Right.
Well, no, you had politicians being like, we have 12 years to solve global warming, or you know, we're all going to die in 12 years kind of thing. And it's like, no, that's just wrong.
Yeah, but there will be a day that that is the case.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is, I thought you were pointing out that a lot of, like, progressives on this issue are unbearable. And I think that's true.
Not unbearable, but unbearable to the people on the other side. I didn't necessarily...
Oh, well, yeah.
But yes, there are also people who are just unpleasable, and there is no right answer for those people. And yes, there are absolutely those on both sides. But I just meant that both sides see the other as demonized. So even if they say something smart, I can't even hear it.
Okay, I'm...
Not that
trying to say something perhaps controversial.
Oh, good, good, good.
I think that the left and the right are never going to come together on this, which is not the controversial part. Therefore, it's the left's job to just steamroll the right, basically.
Unfortunately, that's how the right feels.
I know. They have to lose or we die.
I see. So it's a kill or be killed situation?
Yes. And okay, I say or we die. It's very hyperbolic.
Our way of life dies?
Yeah, maybe. The most likely thing that will happen with climate change is that it's really, really going to suck for developing countries. There will be mass migrations, and basically life will just be a lot worse, but we will eventually solve it, and then we'll just continue in our worst world for a long time, and most of the, you know, a lot of poor people will die. I think that's the most likely thing that will happen. I think there is also a chance that our civilization will just collapse. I think that is a chance. It's not a huge chance, but it is there.
Well, magically, somehow we could figure out how to terraform Mars, even though we can't figure out how to get carpet protectorant out of the ground.
Right. Yeah, well, let's terraform our own planet first. You know, once we might need to.
Yeah. All right. I will throw this out before we move on to the next topic, and that is Andrea. I know you're out there listening, and it has crossed my mind a couple of times. Andrea, a couple of weeks ago, bought me $40 in cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah.
So I can watch it go up and down. And every time I watch it go up and down, I think, what's my carbon footprint now?
Right. Well, it depends on the crypto. I'm not a huge fan of crypto in general, but, like, there are some cryptocurrencies that are very environmentally onerous, and there are some that are basically fine from that perspective. So
I want to get somebody on here to explain to me what's up with that, you know, why that's the case, and, you know,
what's up with the environmental cost of crypto?
Well, I mean, if it's so environmentally bad, why is it only environmentally bad sometimes? Because they're not running good power systems?
Well, no, I can explain that. It's basically just because proof of work is much more demanding computationally than proof of stake.
Wait, what?
Okay, so big digression here.
Hang on, let me get my man bun.
No, oh my gosh, it's been a long time since I read up on all this. If you had asked me this like 2 months ago,
well, I'm just wondering why some are.
Oops.
Worse for the environment than others. Is it because they've gone on so long that the computation takes longer?
No, it's just the way the computation is done in proof of work. Proof of work basically means you have to solve a bunch of math problems for every new coin you want to mine. And that's basically what keeps people from, that's what keeps the supply low, right? Because it's artificial scarcity, otherwise the coins have no value. The value is all imaginary anyway, and that's what
I mean. So it's processing power and time.
Exactly. It's just processing power. Proof of stake, on the other hand, basically is the more coins you have. If I don't think this is quite right. I kind of forget. But it's basically like the more coins you have, the more easy it is to get new coins. And that's what keeps it scarce. Like, it's just a different model for imposing scarcity that doesn't require, you know, dozens of warehouses full of graphics cards running at max all the time.
Gotcha.
And that's what creates the environmental cost, is just, you know, these massive warehouses that are devoted to farming these, like, imaginary coins.
Yeah, Andrea is so desperate to be into cryptocurrency. She's so into it, desperate for us to be into it. What we got to do is put in $20 a month just to buy her onto the show. You know, we'll put in $20 into our own. She'll be happy that that's happening. She's such a pusher of the crypto.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I feel like I was just very disparaging of crypto. I don't want to come down on anyone who's into it. My big issue with it is I feel like people are not being honest about the fact that it's basically a casino. Like,
right, yeah.
A lot of crypto people, I think, really are pushing the narrative that, like, crypto is the future, invest in this because it's the future in some nebulous way. Mm-hmm. Like, they believe that cryptocurrency actually does have some tangible societal value, which I don't, and I think that's a very hard argument to make. I think it's a biggest loser scam. So if you buy crypto and you make money, it's because you sold the crypto to someone who bought crypto. And eventually there's someone who is going to be at the tail end of that, and who is going to lose.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, it is. And, like, that's fine, because, like, casinos are also the house always wins. You know, if you want to make money at a casino, you Sure, just don't put in more than you can afford to lose. It's fine. But it, as long as everyone knows that, right? And it's unregulated, and I think a lot of its proponents are not honest about the fact that, you know, do it at your own risk. It's not a sure thing.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Fly nonstop from Reading to Las Vegas for as low as $39 one way with Avelo Airlines. Feeling like that weekend getaway? You can be in Vegas by lunch and enjoy all that Las Vegas has to offer. Great food, entertainment, and fun. Don't forget about those Raiders games this fall. With small lines and easy parking, flying from Reading with Avelo just got a whole lot better with flights to Vegas. Say hello to Avelo and book direct now at AveloAir.com.
Shasta High School Music Department presents their 53rd annual musical Fiddler on the Roof, a story about the struggles to balance tradition and culture while allowing growth in a small Eastern European village. Production dates are May 5th through the 7th and May 12th through the 14th in Reading. This Tony Award-winning show will include famous music from a live orchestra. Reserved seating tickets are $20 and opening weekend tickets for K-12 students are only $5. For more information, visit ShastaHighChoir.com or call 530-341-2988.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
And my brother-in-law, my family was up, and I was talking to my nephew. He's 13. And one of his friends, his goal is to, like, create and mine his own cryptocurrency. That's, like, his goal for the future. And so I'm talking to my brother-in-law about this, and he's just all like, yeah, it's like, you know, so my son's interested in this, and I'm just all like, and I'm all, yeah, just treat it like playing basketball, like going like, oh, that's great, but have a backup plan because you're going to need it.
Right.
You know, it's like, but I thought also, it was maybe, interesting that even 13
maybe don't do it in the future. Do it now.
Right.
Because it might not be big in the future. Exactly. You know?
Yeah. Maybe the two of them could play together and do it, you know,
yeah.
as a game. But, yeah, it was just interesting to me that here are like 13-year-olds. You know, I remember being young, when all of a sudden people were going like, I'm going to be a rapper when I grow up. And for one, it's unlikely. And then for two, most people weren't hugely familiar with rap in 1985, you know, it only been around for 6 years. And so it kind of felt like, you know, this was going on here where the dad's just all like, the 13-year-old kid wants to be into crypto, and I don't know what the hell that means, you know. I guess that's the point of my thing. There are parents out there that went, oh, 13. I'm preying on their fears.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I don't know, most people just don't understand how crypto works. I don't really. I feel like I know some of the basics, but I know enough to think, yeah, I don't really need to know more, and I don't want to be involved.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't. I'm not an investing whiz, for one.
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing about something, I'm starting to feel like, ooh.
Yeah, I should have got into that earlier. Because
yeah,
if
exactly.
I'm hearing about it, it's already over.
Well, I my brother has a friend who worked for Uber for a long time. They like worked for Uber when it was really small, so they already made a ton of money doing that. But they bought Bitcoin when it was like a few cents.
Hmm.
And so they made, you know, a gajillion dollars off of that. And that would have been a nice thing to do, but like, I'm certainly not going to get into Bitcoin now.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All right. Let's.
Yeah, that's enough of that.
There's a whole lot of that news. What do you got for us?
Right. So the Russians have pulled out of Chernobyl since several infantry got sick after digging trenches in the highly irradiated Red Forest nearby. Surprise, surprise. The severity of their sickness is unknown, as is the number of soldiers affected.
Okay, this one is, you know, I was a little surprised that they wanted Chernobyl in the first place. You'd be all like, we're going to conquer your country. You guys can all hang out at Chernobyl if you want. It's like,
right,
what are
yeah.
you going to do with that? Why did they want it? Was it strategic on some level? I was really confused why they would even want that.
I don't know, actually. My guess is it's one or two things, right? And I'm just spitballing here. I feel like I often fall into the, like, category of, like, de facto expert on the show, and sometimes I know what I'm talking about. In this case, I don't, and I want to be clear here.
Okay.
But I'll bet it's either...
We'll flash something up on the screen.
Yeah, just non-expert alert. I'll bet it's either that they wanted to secure the facility and make sure that, like, nothing happened to it during the fighting, basically. Because just, like... A lot of people put themselves at a lot of risk to just, like, build the dome over the roof, right? So if a mortar shell blows up the roof, then it's like, great, now we have to spend $500 million to fix that, right?
Right.
Because it's so dangerous. Or it's just that this area, the general area, was strategic in other ways, and they were just kind of there. And that's kind of what I suspect it is, since they were digging trenches in the forest. It doesn't sound like people who were super in the know, maybe, on what the deal is with this place. And so maybe they were just like, the Ukrainians are over there, we're advancing, now we're over here, and oh shoot, Sergei just threw up and is growing weird lumps, kind of
thing. Right. Yeah, well, I think there was definitely a lack in chain of command there for sure. One thought that I thought was maybe it was advantageous politically, in the sense that if we start controlling the infrastructure and even the problems of these regions, we will establish mm-hmm. ourselves as the leaders that don't leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, too. And I'm 3 out of 4, listeners, correct me if this is wrong, but I'm pretty sure 3 out of 4 of the reactors at Chernobyl are still producing power and are still connected to the grid. Is still a power plant. Like, it's just reactor 4 that blew up.
Right. Yeah. Crazy, man. Just crazy. God. I could spend a whole segment just going, what? Why? Huh? What? What is he possible?
I mean, we should really
going to get out of this situation. It's like...
We should talk about Chernobyl sometimes, because it's crazy. But.
Yeah, we'll have a Chernobyl history show.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. Okay, well, what do you got next?
Okay, last one here. So we got Republican U.S. Representative Madison Cawthorn caused a bit of a stir a few weeks ago when he said the following words, quote, I mean, being kind of a young guy in Washington where the average age is probably 60 to 70, and I look at all these people, a lot of them that I've looked up to through my life, I've always paid attention to politics, then all of a sudden you get invited, Cawthorn says, quoting one such alleged exchange, invited to an orgy, sorry, kind of cut off the end there on my notes.
That's a good part.
The most important word. Yeah. And he says, oh, hey, we're going to have kind of a sexual get together at one of our homes. You should come. I'm like, what did you just ask me to come to? Then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy, Cawthorn 26 said. He later said on the same podcast, the fact that there's some of the people leading on the movement to try and remove addiction in our country, and then you watch them do a key bump of cocaine right in front of you, and you're like, this is wild.
Okay, so now I'm going to say something controversial.
Yeah.
Here's a party that believes that the world is totally equal. So all these years that people have been saying the R word, been saying the F word towards gay people, the R word towards mentally ill people, the N word towards black people. These are the people who think all of this has been taken care of, solved. Right. We live in a non-racist world, blah, blah, blah. These are the same people that this guy expects me to believe. I believe they're having sex orgies, yeah. And I don't know how to say this nicely, but I don't believe they're inviting the kid in the wheelchair.
Yeah, I think the guy...
The sex orgy. The drugged up sex orgy. We're just all like, yeah, yeah, don't worry. There's elevator access. These people don't give a crap. You know, they don't give a crap about people, much less like, hey, let's bring the one with problems. That's not happening.
Yeah. So I think this is a fun story in a couple of ways, because like either this guy is a complete liar or Washington is super corrupt. But also, if he's a liar, then Washington is super corrupt because he's in Washington.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's both.
Yeah, so I think it's a fun one.
I don't think that there's like a mad cabal of coke-driven sex parties.
No, neither do I.
With the Republicans or with the Democrats.
No, I think he was making it up.
Are there groups of them doing it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no way there isn't. Yeah.
I think he was definitely, like, probably exaggerating a real thing that happened into, like, bait for the QAnon people. But what's funny to me is that it was such a firestorm over this, like, in a way that was that we absolutely did not see when Marjorie Taylor Greene went to the Nazi rally, right? Because people were like, we're very disappointed in her.
Right.
We wish she hadn't done that kind of thing. Yeah. With this, it's like, no, we're funding your primary opponent. He has lost my trust.
It's so blatant. It's so obviously blatant that you're tearing into him just because he made fun of you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what is the swampiest way we could respond?
Right. Had he said that he got invited to a Democrat party trying to pull him over to the other side, they would have applauded him for that story.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and I mean, he didn't actually specifically say Republicans,
No self-respecting liberal is going to party with that dude.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That is not a wheelchair comment. That is not a wheelchair comment. I am not that guy. I'm just saying that they're that guy. So, save the hate mail.
Also, Madison Cawthorn is like right there with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lowen. Lauren Boebert and stuff. Like, he's right on the super far fringe. So, like, I think Democrats probably leave the room when he walks in.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
RC from Tobacco and Brew here, introducing this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Perla del Mar. A gem of a smoke, the Perla del Mar features special, hand-selected, aged binder and long filler from 4 distinct regions of Nicaragua. Smooth, lush flavor with a complex but balanced smoking experience. Perla del Mar. Get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at ShastaCollege.edu. Enroll online today.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Well, how many times have you come up with an idea and then forgot it, or did it and gave up because you didn't put the effort into it? Or, you know, I think about
on
this
on a constant
with,
basis.
Right. I think about this with inventors a lot. People are just, oh, well, they invented the airship and there wasn't one before. And I'm like, yeah, you know, there was some.
Right.
Lazy ass dude that built the thing, and his family went out and his wife said, this is stupid, and he folded it up and put it in the barn and never brought it out again.
Right. So maybe this was a thing where it's an exaggeration of some, like, prototype Zeppelin where it shouldn't have been.
Right.
These things were described as being crewed by people, though.
Yeah.
So if there was, like, a crew, it's weird that someone didn't, like, break ranks and reveal the story.
Totally. Unless they went down in a fiery Zeppelin crash, because you know what the early Zeppelins were filled with?
Hydrogen, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's possible. It's also, I don't know, I'm not sure what's going on here, but modern, like, ufologists hold this up as these were UFOs, but those silly Edwardians just didn't know it, right?
Sure.
Which, honestly, I think makes as much sense as anything.
But. It does. But I have the same problem with the UFO theory in general, or the ancient alien theory. And well, as cool as I think it is, and as well thought out as I think it is by a lot of these people, mm-hmm. I personally am rooting for humanity. I would love there to be aliens out there and us to become friends, and we can all become friends. It'd be great. We'll have, like, dinners, make babies together. I'm down with all that.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting that it was humans that built the pyramids and humans flying around in Zeppelins before
yeah.
we and humans who did this, you know? I'd like to think it was us.
Yeah. No, I hope so. I also like that, like, in 300 years or something, we'll be part of the intergalactic community. And someone is going to play that clip, and it's going to be, like, by the standards of that day, a deeply racist tirade about, like, wanting humans to be first.
Right. Yeah, and absolutely. People, yeah,
I always think about that. That's a total tangent, but I always think about that with, like, alien movies and stuff. And, like, almost all of our alien movies center humanity as being, like, better in some way. Usually it's that we have some kind of willpower or dedication that other aliens don't have.
Yeah, and I wonder, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy just made us in the way of a galactic
exactly. Right,
yeah.
And it's like, man, we are going to have to walk back all of this if we ever become part of, like, a Star Wars-y galaxy of people. Like, we are going to have to unlearn so much, and we're doing it to ourselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it now. So when we think who first circumnavigated the globe, we think Sir Francis Drake. But, you know, now kids are learning in school that it was really a black guy from Africa. I don't even know what his name was I didn't learn it in school. So I imagine us going to this galactic confederation and talking about how great humanity is and having some guy cut in and be all, actually, Smarknoff invented radio on Bleep Blorp like a billion years ago. So Marconi, right, whatever, yeah. You know, it's like they'll be all fine. Well, we were the first humans to do it. And they're all, that's great. Keep that to yourself. That doesn't matter. You know.
No. Yeah. That would be so depressing to be
totally.
Able to just.
Because everything you invented was already invented by Smarknoff on Bleep Blorp.
Yeah, so maybe all the other aliens came to the intergalactic community and they brought, like, unique technologies or unique insights that no one else had discovered.
Right.
And humans are just like, kind of garbage of a species. They didn't really bring anything new, but I guess they're here now.
Totally.
So we gotta carry, like, protein-based food in all of our, like, airports now.
Yeah, we got another species that thinks their cuisine is good enough to get them in here.
Exactly.
Right.
So.
I think you're right, because, you know, we put so much. Well, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago about, like, when people say, yeah, Columbus came over here and did all this stuff, and Columbus was a white guy. And I'm all like, I'm a white guy. Oh my God, I didn't do that. You know, it's like, you know, making these associations, like,
yeah.
With the past or the future, yeah, it's going to be depressing when we get out there and we meet another species and find out you did nothing. Nothing. You didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And Velcro really was left here on accident, you know, when we find all this out.
One of my least favorite statistics in the world is this haunts me and keeps me up at night, is that basically people who are clinically depressed are better in many cases at, like, identifying, like, the truth about news stories and identifying people's, just reading people and reading, like, situations. But they're also, like, in some ways on the verge of death, you know, because they've got this problem that, like, clinical depression is no joke. It's a very common illness. I'm sure we all know someone who struggled with it. But also, like, in a lot of ways, it makes you smarter.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's like, God, what a garbage world to live in for that to be true.
Yeah, the moment of clarity that comes with utter, complete apathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The moment of clarity that comes with, what's the point?
Yeah, I'm hoping someone can, like, correct the record and be like, okay, but it also makes you, like, more foolish in these specific ways. I'm hoping
it's
not
totally
like that.
I think you're less likely to pay your rent on time.
No, well, not just that, but I'm hoping that there was some way in, like, in which the depressed mind is unrealistic.
Oh, yeah.
That's what bothers me, is the idea that, like...
I can tell you where the depressed mind is unrealistic.
Okay.
As somebody who's fought with a depressed mind through my life, I have taught myself over the years that, well, one term I use a lot for things is you can't change the weather. And although our global warming discussion at the beginning of the show, yeah, I do that, but
only for the worse.
You know, it is going to snow and the power is going to go out. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can either bitch and complain. You can have a grand old time. That is all up to you. Right. You are not changing that outcome. How you feel about it and how you deal with it is in your hands. Now, I understand that people are depressed and that they deal with different degrees and varying degrees of depression. Not trying to tell anybody to pick it up by the bootstraps and do it yourself. But,
no, but some
of it you have to. Some of it you have to, because there is no fix that doesn't involve you forcing yourself to try to make it better. There is no fix for anybody, whether that's forcing yourself to get on board with the medication, to work with cognitive behavioral changes, all sorts of things across the spectrum. The biggest factor is I am going to try to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're depressed, you don't say that.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And that's, I think that's a good thing to note.
And also, it's more cortisol, it leads to your life falling apart, it leads to more stress, more fat, shorter lifespan, there's all sorts of stuff. Contrary to having a slightly more clear view of how miserable
those are. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, depression is,
oh,
like,
I'm not fighting you,
bad.
You just said that you wanted to hear it, so I'm giving it to you.
No, thank you. But, like, yeah, being depressed is not practical.
No, yeah, they're, because, you know, a lot of these mental illnesses, depression being the one that I understand the most, it's like a downward spiral. It's like, right. Oh, I didn't do that because I'm a lazy piece of crap. And then while you're bitching about that, you didn't get something else done. And then you go, oh, I didn't do that because I'm a lazy piece of crap. And then after about 5 years, you go, you don't even say I didn't do that because you just say I'm a lazy piece of crap. So I'm not going to do that. And, you know, you end up digging a hole for yourself while being put in a hole that you don't deserve to be in. So it becomes very difficult because your hole gets doubly deep. But one of the depths is a hole that we put ourselves into. And it's hard to get out of, you know, but once you get up there, you know, and you're willing to take people's help, I think it gets a little easier.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm all positive in my old age. Jeez.
Yeah, what is the show? This is not our brand. We depress people. We tell
you
them how
depressing
terrible things are.
Yeah. All right. Well, you are listening to Radio Wasteland. You got anything positive for the people to go to sleep on tonight? Maybe something wild.
Something positive and wild. Well, changes in clean energy over the last 10 years or so. Reduce the end-of-the-century estimate for global warming by a couple degrees. So
you are a lot of fun. I bet you're a lot of fun at a party.
God, I don't know what you want me to say. I don't have anything prepared.
All right, you're listening
to
Radio Wasteland.
That's amazing.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
We just don't feel safe. Kids shot by stray bullets, gangs overrunning neighborhoods, children we know dying from drug poisonings, and the politicians supposed to be protecting us side with criminals or just don't care. California's never felt so hopeless.
I'm Nathan Hochman, California is under attack and I intend to stop it. I've spent years prosecuting criminals. As an assistant U.S. Attorney General and head of a California fraud task force, I locked up violent criminals, drug traffickers, corrupt politicians, and financial predators. As Attorney General, I'll crack down on cartels and gangs, get fentanyl and dangerous narcotics off the streets, lock up violent criminals, and prosecute corruption. My mission always has been and always will be to protect California families.
Nathan Hochman, an Attorney General who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
Did you know staying active can reduce your risk of developing Alzheimer's and dementia by 45%? 2.5 hours of moderate physical activity each week is recommended. Activity for 15 to 20 minutes a day can make a difference. Take a walk, go for a swim, or dance in your living room. For more healthy brain tips and resources on Alzheimer's and dementia, visit ShastaHealthyBrain.com. This message is from Shasta County Health and Human Services, supported by the California Department of Public Health Alzheimer's Disease Program Healthy Brain Initiative.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call him at 530-246.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Freshen up your home with spring decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson, featuring antique lamps and lighting, desks and dressers, linens and love seats, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 6. Sunday, noon to 5. Closed on Tuesdays. Call 530-365-1399. That's 530-365-1399.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. The news from Town Hall.